Oh, good. Stand Fast found her mic. Go ahead, Stand Fast. You got the mic.
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed your teaching tonight, but I just pray that you'll allow it recorded. I was out of town and I hadn't gotten back much earlier than when I came online. But Ms. Todd Bentley stuff, when I came online about two, I think it was 2003 when I came online, I met up with a friend from Edmonton. And after I knew her for a while, she started to share some teachings with me that she was involved with. And it was by a woman named Patricia King. Now, I know now that, you know, she's tied up with this Todd Bentley thing. And I think she's on God TV in the USA. She is from Canada. And I saw a clip on her the other day, and I think it was on, it might have been on Steve's site. Where, yeah, okay. So anyway, so she put on the tape, and we were on Pal Talk in a private room listening to the teaching, and I don't know the verse right offhand in Isaiah, and she said that this Toronto blessing thing, that she went there, and you know people were barking like dogs and all that stuff, and you know she said I went home and I sat in my bed and I said to the Lord, you know, Lord, this is not of you, all this barking and all this stuff that's going on, Lord. You know, those people are really deceived. And she said, I opened up my Bible to, I'm trying to find it there now. Isaiah, it's in, yeah, okay, Isaiah 58. And she read this, she read, when she opened the Bible, this is what she read. And she said, my goodness, Lord, I'm sorry. I apologize. You're telling me that the dogs are waking up and, you know, this is of you and I'm sorry, Lord. And, you know, she was just, oop, line and sinker, lost at that moment, right? Because what that verse says is, I'm a little bit nervous there and I just got to slow down a bit. And I'm from the East Coast too and I talk really, really fast. Praise God. Anyway, it says, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. They're sleeping, lying down, loving to some slumber. Yea, they are all greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are all shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one of them for their own gain, for his quarter. And somehow, she got that interpreted with the barking in the Toronto blessings. I guess the feeling was so good, you know, the flesh felt so good amongst all that, that when she opened up the Bible and she saw this, she apologized for suggesting to the Lord that, you know, this wasn't his spirit. Because now that the barking, the dogs are waking up and this is, you know, the spirit of the Lord and all that stuff. You know how it goes, right? And that was a sign that, you know, that the Holy Spirit was really moving. But in the meanwhile, I probably wouldn't have known that verse was in the Bible, except that and the Lord was so faithful. And I was a new Christian because I got saved in 2002, and I think that was like, I came online in 2003, and it might have been 2004, somewhere around there, right? Very new Christian. But I heard a teaching by David Wilkerson on those very verses like a few days or a week before. So, anyway, I knew in my heart that she was wrong, even without reading this, right? But the barking and all that stuff. But anyway, it's interesting to see how that have all developed and exploded since this glory school that she teaches. And Todd Bentley is one of her guests, and I think there's a whole bunch of them. I'm not really sure the names. Jim Gold, and I don't know how many more. But anyway, my friend that was under this teaching, she, you know, she refused to believe the truth, and she'd been saved all of her life for a long time, and she was into trying to contact those angels. And do you hear me? I don't know. Yeah, lots of them. Okay, you can still hear me. And but you know, we ended up having to part friendship because I would quote scriptures that, you know, made, or what she was being, she was teaching was so ridiculous. And my friend, she didn't want to, she just didn't want to hear it. She just loved all of this. And she was having some manifestations too of orbs of light in her house. And Well, anyway, she was having all this stuff downloaded, they call it, and, you know, all this information. And anyway, you know, we just had to part ways. You know, I just want to share that with you. And I'd like to ask your advice on something else after, too, but if you don't mind. Yes, they love pleasure more than God. But there's something else, too, that I just seek your advice on, because I prayed about it, and I'm still not sure if I should do anything or say anything or not. But 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, 1 week, 2 weeks ago, I have some children that come and stay with me once a month. I do respite for, you know, as a single father. And anyway, three girls, like 8, 10, and 13. So 1 week in a month, they stay with me. So they were in church, and they're doing the Dynamite Kids, it's called, you know, the kids program or whatever that they have in the church. So they were having a sleepover at the church, and there's probably a couple of hundred kids or more. And they go in Friday night, and you pick them up at noon on Saturday. So I went in to pick them up at Saturday, because it was the father's decision to do this, not mine. And it was a Bible thing that they were doing at the church, right? An overnight Bible thing that they do annually. And so I went in to pick them up Saturday, and so I went in and I took their sleeping bags and stuff that they had and put it in the car. In the meanwhile, they were all in the sanctuary, and it was like, it's not, I mean, I live in a small town of 3,000, and they were all in the sanctuary, and somebody was talking. I really didn't pay too much attention to it. It's probably all 300 or 400 people, 500 or 600 maybe. And so the place was packed with the kids from here and surrounding communities. So I just took their things out to the car, and I was waiting. And then I realized that probably they might be worried because their things were gone. It might be, you know, they were late by 5 or 10 minutes. So I decided to go back in. And when I went back in, they were doing their closing thing with this band. And it was just rock music. Right? It was just rock music. And the ones that were up on the stage, up on what you would call in a secular place, I guess, the stage, but in this case it was like what they called an altar, right? And, you know, they were up there dancing, and, you know, there was just body parts flying all over the place, and it was just gross, and it was just awful. It just broke my heart. All the kids were up on the seats. I'd never seen anything like it because, again, I'm in a small town. And I know of these things, but, you know, it just brought it home so close to home, what's going on in the churches, and all those little children, and they were all up on the seats, and they were just going crazy. And it was not the Spirit of the Lord either. And when I looked over the pastor, I looked over, and the pastor was in the foyer there, you know, we're standing up beside where I was, and he just looked, you know, he was looking at me when I looked over. I was just so grieved. And my heart was just so grieved. I just couldn't take in what was happening. And but I knew it was happening. And I just looked at him, and I just shook my head, and I wouldn't leave anyway. And I just looked around to see who else was in adults that was taking this in. And so he was there, and he was watching me. That's what it seemed like anyway. So we were probably 15, 20 feet apart, I suppose. But so I just left anyway and went back to my car. And, you know, I still feel like calling that man and asking him if he thought that was the Holy Spirit that was in that church that day. I just don't know if he don't know, if the music that they had brought in, if it was what he expected, or anyway, I just really would really like someone's opinion on this, yours, Dan, or someone, if you could help me there, or just leave well enough alone. So anyway, I yield the mic after all of that.
Thank you for sharing, Stanfast. I'm glad you got on there and said that. Anybody else want to take a shot at it? Answer your question? Your question is, should you call this guy and confront him and ask him if he knew what was going on, right? Well, you're going to take those kids back to that church again? I mean, they going to keep going back there? Well, regardless, I'd call him. I'd call him and say I wasn't really pleased with it. I thought that wasn't the Spirit of God. Did he realize it wasn't the Spirit of God? If he did, why didn't he stop it? it'll be mean or nasty. Just say, hey, brother, I'm concerned. They go there Monday nights for kids' teaching. Well, they're not getting taught the Lord. It's all the spirit of the world. It's all the devil. That church is filled with the spirit of Satan. Rock and roll, the wild party spirit with no drugs. That's all it is. It's a wild party spirit without the booze and the drugs. Everything that's going there is just Satan. That's all. If that guy don't know, he should be told. You tell him, he'll get mad at you and castigate you. Then you'll know. He knows. He doesn't want to hear the truth, right? Maybe God lets you see that because he wants you to confront him, you know, and love. But don't expect to get anywhere. That's the thing, right? They're trying to be relevant. They're trying to be relevant for the kids. If they bring kids in, teach them John 3:16 and sing John Wesley hymns, the kids are addicted. They got a taste for hard rock, for the wildlife, for the wild abandoned spirit, the wild spirit of abandonment, to the gross spirit, the barf you out and gag me thing. That's what they got a taste for. And so they're doing that in the church, so the kids come to church. If they stop doing that, they think the kids will stop, and the kids probably will stop. But it's all Satan. And that guy's probably just doing it to keep his numbers up. But I wouldn't be afraid to do it. If you have it on your heart, if you feel grieved about it, if you have a desire to talk to him, I would talk to him. Just don't expect to get anywhere with him, that's all. Be prepared. They don't need the party spirit without the drugs. You know, Jesus is enough if you get Jesus. Problem is, nobody has Jesus. And so they can't give him Jesus. You can't get what you don't have. Amen. Well, I'm glad you shared. Thanks a lot for that testimony. Glad you got on the mic. Anybody else want to take a shot? Have anything to share? I didn't say anything because I was listening to Stan Fast, but how do you pronounce it? Ali Stein, about the Hebrews. Ali Stein put up about Hebrews 5:14 about strong meat. That's a great scripture. The more we test the spirits according to the scriptures and our inner witness of the Holy Spirit, the sharper we become. That's right. Irma says, the Lord no doubt wants you to speak up since he allowed you to see that. Yeah, I kind of agree, Irma. Amen. And that's how the Lord makes us strong, too. The more we confront these things, the more we stand up for the Lord, the more we take a stand for him, the stronger we get in the spirit. That's one of the ways we grow. Well, anybody else have anything like to share? Would like to say? Or Kimberly says, what about telling the Father and the children? Yellow says, that's caring for the sheep instead of the pastor. That's right. There's rock music and you feel another spirit there. Okay, I missed what I wrote a few lines ago. Let me see. What did I miss here? Peggy says I missed something. Peggy, what did Peggy write? I don't see what you wrote there, Peggy. It's not on my screen. Hang on. I don't see it. Did you write something? Did anybody else see what Peggy wrote? Because I missed it. It's not on my screen. It must not be coming through. Do you want to try the mic? That's strange. Wonder why you can't come through there. Is it more than one line? Sometimes if you write a bunch of lines, it won't send it through because it's too much text. Oh, there it goes. I don't have a mic. I wish I did. Okay. Well, maybe you should type it in short sentences. Maybe it was too long. Sometimes if you write a long sentence, it doesn't go. Okay, Texas 2. What? The church has been so dumbed down, we have been taught it is wrong to judge and check the fruit. That's right. So we take it all in. That's right. We have bought into another Jesus of another spirit. That's exactly right. Sorry, I missed that, Texas. And I'm glad, Stan Fast, that you're from the East Coast. And I'm glad you talk fast. But not, I'm sure you don't talk as fast as me. But I'm glad there's somebody else here from the East Coast. Karen says, no one talks as fast as you, Dan. Whoever asked me, whoever mentioned it, I did. Oh, yeah. Stand fast. I am recording this, so hopefully I got it all, and I'll be able to put it up. So check it out tomorrow. Check the website out tomorrow. I'll have it up if I got it. Okay. Grace, grace, grace. No real understanding of grace. Lord Jesus gives us grace not to sin. Amen. Yellow, that's exactly right. They don't understand what God's grace is. It's a power to overcome sin. Grace is power. It's not a legal position. Perm says, I get my point across. Even though I'm talking fast, oh, good. Stan says, yep, I'm out in the Atlantic. It's far easier than you can get in North America. Up in Canada, right? Yeah. Creaky says, I can't listen as fast as you talk. Okay, I'm sorry, Creaky. Karen's from Arkansas, so she hears slow. Well, if I talk fast and you hear slow, that must be quite a combination. Okay, I got something Peggy now. What really matters is if you do get a message from the Lord, it is, of course, in Scripture. Yes. Then do you obey? I had an audible message focused on God, not men. Audible message? Okay, you had an audible message from the Lord said focus on God, not men. Do you feel it was the Lord, Peggy? Do you have any question there? Or you sort of feel it was the Lord? Was there any question in your mind? Well, we got this. Like I said, The inner witness has to be sharpened, you know, so that something comes to us, it's inscriptural, it's the source. What we need to know and what we need to learn how to do is detect the source. That was my point tonight. That's what we need to get sharpened in. Our senses need to be exercised and get sharpened in discerning the source of all the stuff that's coming to us from the spirit realm. That's all. So if you get anything coming from the spirit realm and you have a question, go to the Lord. You know, say, Lord, show me the source. Show me the source. If it's scriptural, now if it's not scriptural, you know right away. Don't even, you know, it's not even a question. But if it's scriptural, sounds right, feels right, it's what the Lord's doing right now, then you're just going to go to the Lord and say, Lord, show me the source of this thing. You know? That's all you can do. And I believe if we're trying to serve God with our whole heart, if we're walking in the death to self, not just talking about it, but actually walking and learn how to actually do it, if God's first and not a bunch of idols in our lives, we're actually putting our flesh to death through this power of the Holy Spirit. The more we do these things, the less that Spirit can talk to us and get in our lives. No door will shut it automatically. You can't shut the door forever automatically. I mean, but the more you die yourself and the more you're walking in the Lord's Spirit, the less the thing has, you know, the less it can get a hold of us. So it's important that we walk in holiness, walk in separate. See, one of the problems is people talk about holiness and they don't have any idea what it is. They talk about the love of the world and are involved in all kinds of things that are the world. You know, and they don't realize it. So it's, you know, the kind of, it's not that I'm blaming them. They don't, nobody's told them maybe. But people who talk about death itself still are involved in all kinds of things in the world. All kinds of entanglements in the world. And they don't know it. And so they're trying to reach out, going deeper in the Lord. And this thing, they're involved with things in the world, that opens a door for that spirit to move. That gives them a, you know, a liberty to move. You know, so it's very, very important that we're walking in holiness as much as we know how. That we're separate from the world. That we're separate from any people, all people that we know are walking in sin, rebellion, or walking in their spirits. You know, and that we're trying to put our self life on the altar as much as we know how. You know, so seeking His kingdom, His righteousness. Yes, but that's a cliche with a lot of people, Peggy. A lot of people are saying those things. Death to self, walking death to self, seeking His kingdom, putting Christ first. To many people, that's a cliche. Because they've accepted it with their mind, because they understand some of what it means, they assume they're walking in it, and they're not. So they walk around repeating it like a tape recorder. But it's not actually true in their lives. You see? And if it's not absolutely true in your life, doesn't matter how many times you say it, how loud you say it, how eloquent you say it, it's not true. If it's not true, it's not true. That's all there is to it. And that's the problem. Lots of people are getting truth. They're getting understanding. Like this verse in Revelation, it's very hot right now. A lot of people are popular. A lot of people are quoting, they overcame it by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, by the overcome not the lies of death. And most of the people quote that don't have any idea what that means, especially laying down their lives, loving their lives out of death. They don't actually know what it means. You know, there's maybe one or two things in life they're doing, but the scope of it and how much it means, how much stuff they have to lay down and walk away from and get untangled from is not real in their lives. So they walk around quoting that, yet they're not really living it to the extent that they should, that they can walk under God's protection or that they actually are overcoming. Now, again, I'm not castigating them and saying you're a wicked fool. I'm just saying they're mature, they don't know, they haven't been told, they haven't learned, whatever. And God willing, we're all coming down this road. We're all coming down this path, and He'll show us as we go. But I'm just saying it's very easy to acknowledge the truth, to accept the truth, yet not walk in it. Just think accepting it and knowing it is walking in it. And that's a lot of people doing that. They're talking a lot of end time stuff. They're talking a lot about stuff, overcoming and dying yourself and having Christ first and all that kind of stuff. They're not walking in it. They're still entangled with the world. They're still entangled with relationships that are wrong. They've still got idols in their lives. And it just opens up to deception. You know, because they walk around talking stuff they ain't walking. You know? Peggy says the proof is in the fruit. Amen. And Karen says, come out of this world and the ways of the world. Let your life show your talk. That's right. Amen, Karen. Daily walk, all thoughts and ways beyond the word, all motives, watching words, thoughts. Amen. That's right, Yellow. Hang on a second here. Looks like Kimberly wants to say something. Go ahead, Kim.
Hi, I just wanted to say something to Stand Fast. I'm not saying this is the Lord, and I don't even know if it is or not, but if you were to feel led to talk to those girls' father at all, maybe a way of bringing it up to him, you know, without... You know, a gentle way of bringing it up to him might be that you realize that he wants what's best for them because it seems like he wants them to know about Jesus, because he sends them to where he thinks they're going to learn about Jesus anyhow. And then maybe just share with him, I'm sure he probably knows you're a Christian already, and maybe just in a gentle way of some kind, let him know that what you saw at that church doesn't resemble anything you've ever, that you know is really the Lord, and that you really don't feel that they're getting the, hearing about the true Jesus there, just, something like that, maybe tell him in a gentle way, because I'm sure, and you can even say you love the children, because I'm sure you do, and then not that you're telling him what to do, but just like a really gentle warning, and that's all.
Okay, thanks for sharing, Kim. Amen. Good. Anybody else have anything? Yeah, it sounds like wisdom. Amen. I'm glad you shared. Anybody else have anything to share? Karen says, every day, ask the Lord to guide our thoughts, our words, use our hands, and to guide our steps. That's right. Amen. There is victory as long as we watch and pray and keep serious. It's this attitude where you can't watch. You shouldn't be watching. You shouldn't be judging anything. You shouldn't be, this thing, lackadaisical attitude where, hey, man, I got Jesus, and Jesus is going to take care of me. That attitude tries to creep in many different ways under the guise of many different doctrines. That's what we're trying to fight here. And it comes to us as spiritual experiences as well. And that's when it's the most dangerous. The discernment, amen, Purim. Amen. That's the most important gift we need right now, is to get the discernment. Rich and Judy says, help us examine ourselves daily to make sure that's right. Amen. Yes, Lord, help us all. Amen. Lord, help us. Help us walk in your seriousness, Lord. Give us wisdom and discernment, Lord, so we can overcome all these hellish religious spirits are trying to trick us, Lord. Just ask you to be with everyone in this room. Give them discernment, Lord. I just pray that now. Everyone in this room, give them discernment. Your discernment. Make them wise as serpents, Lord. Like the Bible says, wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Make us wise with the ways of the enemy so we can overcome him, Jesus. Amen. It says, not just talk, Lord, but walk. That's right. You need to walk. Lots of people are talking to talk. It's real easy. And believe me, I had a guy yesterday or Friday on Steve's room. A guy says, it seems easy to hide behind a mic. Well, if anybody tells me that, I got a camera here. My name's in green. That means I can broadcast video. I got a camera here set up. So if anybody wants to think I'm hiding behind the mic, I can turn my camera on. But it is. It's real easy to hide behind a mic, hide behind a screen, hide behind a book, hide behind a writing ministry. And not do the walk, and nobody knows what you're doing. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's why those early churches in community. They were in community. They were in each other's lives every day. And they knew who labored among them. They knew who was walking and who was false. But it's hard to get that right now, especially in something like Pal Talk. It's tricky. I'm telling you, for everything God does supernaturally like that, there's a counterfeit. That's what I'm trying to warn people. I mean, not just you guys in the room. I've been warning my books, my Babylon Rising series. That's one of the reasons I wrote my Babylon Rising series, was to show, I named all those people, all these people you're talking about, Todd Bentley, and that all those apostles and prophets I named and told what they were doing in that series, for the facts, though, to show that they have been so deceived by a spirit. They're not just following people's books. They're not just following their vain imaginations. They're not just following these thoughts that come to mind. They're following a real spiritual entity that is revealing things to them and talking to them and giving them feelings and giving them revelations and doing supernatural things in their life and confirming their error they're in. They'll go to the Bible and get some error, erroneous doctrine from it. The Spirit will give them a wrong error from it, a wrong slant on Scripture, and then they'll go and somebody else out of nowhere will come and tell them that same slant on that same Scripture that they weren't even talking to, something like that. Not only does the Scripture give them wrong slants on Scripture, misinterpret the Scripture, wrongly divide the Scripture, then it works miraculously to confirm that error, So that's what's going on. We're talking about a spirit that is playing God in people. It's playing God for real, man. This ain't no joke. This ain't no game. It's playing God in people's lives, And people are falling for it, going for it by the millions, And it doesn't mean we got to be scared of it and more frightened of it than God. It just means you got to get the devil's due. Just like I said before many times, an electrician gets up on that pole and works some live wires all the time. And he has to have a healthy respect for that electricity. He can't be scared of it, or he can't do his job. But you got to have a healthy a fear, knowing that that stuff can kill you. You know, there's certain precautions you got to take. There's certain ways you got to move. You got to wear certain kinds of gloves and a thick rubber, and make sure every time you go up there, you can't have a hole. You got to make sure there's no holes in your glove. All it takes is one little pinhole, and you'll get fried. All these kinds of things. You can't be afraid of electricity, or else you can't do your job. But you got to understand its power and know what you're dealing with, and walk circumspectly when you're doing your job. It's the same with the enemy's power. It's the same thing with the enemy's power. God is more powerful. Greater is the spirit in us than is the spirit of the world. Greater is the spirit in us than the devil. However, there's certain things we have to do, put ourselves under God's protection, to keep ourselves in that place where he can't get to us. Or we overcome him when he attacks us, you know. And that's all we have to do. But see, all these people are saying, no, that's not what we have to do. All that stuff is glorifying the devil. Just believe in Jesus. Just die to self. You know, that's all cliches. Judy says, read my scripture above. Okay, I missed it. Where's it at here? 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. I don't see it. Does anybody else see it on there? Did you put it up? Did you post it? I'm sorry, did you post that scripture? 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. I don't see it on my screen. So maybe it's my program. Or something's going funky with my thing. 8 through 9. 1 Peter 8 through 9. Hang on a second. I'll put it up there. 1 Peter 5, 8. Be sober, be vigilant. Amen. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brother. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen, brother. Who resists steadfast? And the whole doctrine, the whole mindset, the whole thing out there is you don't have to resist him because God already defeated him. Just believe. Just accept. Just walk, baby. You know, that's all you got to do. Just don't worry about it. God overcame him. Just walk. Well, that's such trash. And the devil put that out there to deceive everybody so we could have him. So, that was good, Rich. Thank you. He doesn't have to devour, so we can overcome him. That's the sad part. The sad part is there's victory in Jesus. There's total, absolute, complete victory in Jesus. If we just do what Jesus said. That's so sad. The sad part is not that the devil has power. The sad part is we don't avail ourselves of those power. And because we listen to false doctrines, we're letting them overcome us. Yeah, that's a lot of OSA. Yep, OSAS people. That's right. Exactly. That's why I hate that doctrine. Harold, Texas says, we're learning the difference between works and obedience. Good. Okay, Jen says, I think it was Todd Bentley on YouTube. It was called A Pillar of Fire. He was shown a pillar of fire during a meeting, and he said God told him it was a portal. Portal is an occult term. Anybody uses the term portal, that's an occult term. That's an occult term. Came from the occult. Witches use it when they open portals to let their demons in and out and their spirit guides in and out. So anybody that says anything about portal, turn them off right off the bat, okay? Says God told him it was a portal, and he was told to go in it and was transported into heaven and was put on a table and was cut open, and little white boxes were put inside him. And he said, God is filling up the church. Oh, yeah, right. God was giving the gifts of the Spirit now. Pardon me. God gave the Spirit gifts of the Spirit in Acts. But, right. Well, Todd Bellies have all kinds of experiences that are coming from another demon. It's a shame. I mean, you think about it. Think of everything that's happened to that man. Think of all things that happened to that man. And he's totally, absolutely convinced it's God. Absolutely, totally convinced. And he'll never know it's not God until the second resurrection, when God pulls him up from the grave and he's about to be cast into hell. So anyway, anytime anybody starts talking about a portal, cut it off. Don't even listen. Okay. Perp says, love your enthusiasm, Dan. I feel the same way, but I'm not that architect. Oh, well, thanks. I think it's the Lord. Hope it's not my enthusiasm. Anybody else? Feel free to ask any kind of questions you want, Stand Fast. Anytime you're in this room, you feel free to ask. That's what room here for. I didn't start the room so I could go on and talk all night. I wanted to be a fellowship room. So anybody has any problems, anybody has any questions, feel free to ask, go on the mic, bring stuff up. It's no problem. That's sort of the original purpose of the room. Although it didn't yet blossom into that yet, we're still hoping. I understand. It also takes a lot to share, to be open with people. I imagine most of the people in this room have been burnt many times by the system as well as other people. So it takes a lot of time to get to start trusting people again also. So I realize that. And since you don't know me, you know, but you're all welcome to come and visit me sometime. And you can see how we live. And you can see that we are doing what we're talking about. So everybody remembers, right? From now on, it's Sunday. Everybody got that? Sunday at 7:30, same time, same place, just different day, Sunday evenings. I got it up on my website, and I will have this. I tape record this thing so far. I never know what it's going to come out until I'm done actually taping it and see how it comes out. Then I got to go through it and edit out all the long blank spots and edit out my double talking. And sometimes it pops and jumps. And I got to edit that out. So it usually takes me a couple hours. So I won't have it until tomorrow. But if I got it all tonight, whatever I got will be up tomorrow. Okay. Sometime on the website, on the front page. So if you want to listen to it again. Also, I guess I told you this before, but let me make sure I told you again. Last week's message about the nations, being like the nations didn't come out. Today, Monday, I sat down in front of the mic and recorded the whole thing again from scratch. It's a little bit different. I put it in a little different order. And I was able to talk slower because I wasn't nervous, of course. And there was no conversation in there with everybody, so I talked slower. It was presented a little bit differently, in a little different order. And I think it was much clearer and much better. So if anybody cares to hear that again, you know, it's different. It's a lot different. It's a lot better. So if anybody wants to go hear it again, check it out again, go ahead. You might get more out of it this time. I don't know. Okay? And let's see. I bet that's about it. Anybody else have anything you'd like to bring up or share? Okay, you got the printed notes? Yeah, I just took them off today. I left them up for a week. Yeah, my original recording last week, I mean, what we did last week, I went by the notes. You know, the new one, the post recording, I just get on there and winged it. I just winged it, you know, and it was a lot better. Tell you the truth. But anyway, so the moral of the story is don't read your notes, you know. If anybody had a problem with that or didn't understand some of it or would like to hear it again, it is a little different. Okay, I think it's a little more clearer. And I'm talking a little bit slower. You'll all be happy to know. Amen. Anybody else have anything you want to share or bring up? Or Karen says, thank you, Dan, for being there for us. Oh, you're welcome. I always try to do whatever I can to help God's people. I have a concern for the body. So many people get deceived. And all these teachers are, even the ones that aren't false teachers, they don't know what they're saying. You know, they're destroying people by their immature understanding what's going on. And somebody's got to go out there and tell the people what's going on so they can survive. Okay, well, if anybody has anything, how about last call? Anybody have anything? Grace says your message help put iron in. Thank you. Thank you, Grace. Good. That's the purpose. We need iron to stand. See, iron is going to rule. Man-child is going to rule with a rod of iron. Good night, Jamie. Thanks for coming. See you next week. See you next Sunday, okay? Thank you all for coming tonight. Thank you all for listening. The recording will be up tomorrow, hopefully. And we'll see you next Sunday, God willing, and the river don't rise.